umrah, etc. But it's the acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these systems that we have in place is just a formality. But if Allah ta'ala wants to take a person, then Allah ta'ala does not require all these systems and all these formalities. So every one of us should have this desire and have this urge, talab in our hearts, that Allah ta'ala must accept us and Allah ta'ala must take us as well. Inshallah, and today I just want to discuss a few aspects with regards to Hajj. Hajj is over, alhamdulillah. We spoke about the virtues of Hajj. And now that Hajj has been completed, now we want to speak a little bit about the returning Hujjaj. Those that have performed this great pillar of deen, and now they are returning. Many have come back, many are still coming back. The responsibilities of the Hujjaj, welcoming the Hujjaj back. And after Hajj, how can we continue earning this reward of Hajj and Umrah? Allah Ta'ala is so merciful that although the act of Hajj can be done only on these 5 or 6 days, but a person can acquire the reward of Hajj, no matter which part of the world he may be living in. On a daily basis, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that a person can earn the rewards of Hajj and Umrah. So this is a great pillar of deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Hajj in the Quran and Majid. We find there's no other. Allah ta'ala has revealed an entire surah that is named after this ibadat of Hajj, Surah Hajj. We find there's no other pillar of our deen that Allah ta'ala has named a complete surah. When Nabi Islam performed Hajjatul Wada, the final Hajj, this entire surah was revealed. From this we can find the importance that is being attached to this pillar of deen. So alhamdulillah, the Hujjaj have returned now, and we just want to discuss these few points. Depends on the time, how much we can discuss, inshallah ta'ala, we will discuss. So one is the Hujjaj, they are returning. How do we welcome the Hujjaj? Many of our family members may have went for Hajj, now they are returning. Like how when they were departing and they were leaving for Hajj, then we went to their homes, we visited them, we went to the airport, we greeted them. We requested them to make dua for us, to remember us in their duas, to convey our salams, the plains of Arafah in their duas, to ask for our forgiveness. Likewise, when the Hujjaj are now returning, that we should go and greet them, we should welcome them, because these were the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These were the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and now they are returning back in such a condition when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, man hajja lillah, فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجْعَكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. This applies to the returning Haji. That when a person goes for Hajj, man hajja lillah, that he performs Hajj for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unlike the other hadith, when Nabi Sallam mentions the warnings of those people that will perform Hajj, the time will come when people will perform Hajj for ulterior motives. A person, the rich, will go to perform Hajj for name, for fame, for business. The poor will go for begging. The scholars will go for fame, etc. So everyone will be going for different reasons and for different intentions. But here Nabi Sallam mentions that person who goes for Hajj solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes with ikhlas, with sincerity, to fulfill this great ibadat and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ. And in this Hajj of his, he performs his Hajj in such a manner where he does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not break the commands of Allah. He does not commit sins. He protects his eyesight. He protects his tongue. He protects his feet. He does not hurt anyone. He's not abusive to anyone. So he performs his Hajj in this manner where Allah ta'ala is pleased with him. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that he returns and he comes back home in this condition, like how when a mother gives birth to a baby, that baby is sinless. That baby is clean, is pure. This person returns from Hajj in this manner, in this condition. So these people are now coming back in this condition. So we should go and meet them. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions another hadith, "Man al-hajj al-mabrur laysa lahu jaza' illa al-jannah." That person will perform a Hajj al-mabrur again, an accepted Hajj, that Hajj that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with. Then what is this person's reward? One is given the title Haji. But here Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving him the title of Jannati. That his reward from Allah Ta'ala is nothing less than Jannat itself. So how great are these Hujjaj that they are coming back. that like how when they were departing, we went to visit them, we went to meet them. Now too, when they are returning, we should go and we should meet them, we should greet them, and we should request du'as from them. Hadith mentions that when the haji comes, man hajj, that person who makes hajj, and now he's returning, the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma aghfir lil hajj, wali man istaghfara lahu al hajj. Allahumma aghfir lil hajj, oh Allah forgive the haji, and on whosoever behalf he requests for forgiveness, oh Allah forgive that person as well. So a haji returning, he's the guest of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has accepted his du'as. And now that he's returned, his du'as are still accepted. Scholars have mentioned that the haji's du'as are accepted. Some explain right till Rabiul Awwal, their du'as are still accepted. Some scholars mention right till Rabiul Awwal. Now we are still in Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram, Safar, Rabiul Awwal. So let us go and meet them. Let us go. Greet them. Hadith mentions that you should greet them, you should embrace them, you should welcome them, and you should request them to make du'as for you. Request them to make du'a maghfirat for you. So let us take out some time and now go and meet the hujjaj, welcome them, and request them to make du'a for us. The fadail of the haji, it is mentioned what honor Allah Ta'ala has blessed the hujjaj. Those that have come back from Hajj, look at their honor in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more reason why we should go and visit them, greet them. As the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in Fadail al-Hajj, the virtues of Hajj. And these virtues are mentioned, why did we speak about the virtues of Hajj, the virtues of Salah? These virtues are mentioned to create that desire and that talab in us, that I also want to carry out this deed. I also want to gain the virtues of this action. That's why we mention these virtues, that the desire and the talab comes into a person's heart, and that effort comes now he makes, that I also want to accomplish this pillar of deen. So it is mentioned amongst the fadail of a haji, that what honor and what respect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him, one is in dunya, one is in akhirat. That on the day of qiyamah, an announcer will announce, Ain al-hajj, where are the hujjaj? Those who perform Hajj for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ain al-Hajj. Where are all the Hujjaj? And then they will stand up. And then it will be told to them that they will go into Jannat. And they up to 400 people from their family members who was destined for the fire of Jahannam to take them and go into Jannat. This is the honor that Allah ta'ala will bless the Hujjaj. These guests of Allah ta'ala are now returning. So we should go and welcome them, we should greet them, and most importantly, ask them to make dua for us. Because this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma aghfir lil hajj, wa li man istaghfara lahu al hajj. And whoever dua they make for us, Allah ta'ala will accept that as well. So if they make dua for you and I, then their duas will be accepted in our favor. And our maghfirat also will be made. So that is welcoming the hujjaj, meeting the hujjaj, the honor of the hujjaj. We should take our time and we should try to fulfill this. Then secondly, the responsibility of the hujjaj. Those of us who have returned, those of us who know those that went for hajj, or maybe those of us who have performed hajj in the past. Allah has blessed us an opportunity in the past. So we have this responsibility together with everybody else. But more so, we have come back with responsibilities. That we went to the Haramain Sharifain, the blessed lands of Makkah Mukarrama, Madinatul Munawwara. We stood on the plains of Arafah. Al-Hajju Arafah. That Hajj is Arafah. On the days of Hajj, on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, a person does not go to the plains of Arafah, then his Hajj is not complete. So important is this place on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah for the Hujjaj. So a person was blessed to visit all these places. The dua of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, his tawbah was accepted on the plains of Arafah. So the haji, Allah had granted him the opportunity to visit these places, to stand on that Mubarak blessed lands. Now he has to understand that what had happened in these lands, what responsibility was given to the ummah. He as an ummati, what is his responsibility? What has he brought back from these blessed lands that we have went to? It mustn't happen such that we go and we perform our hajj. Maybe that box will get ticked that this pillar was completed, our fard. But if you have brought back nothing, then actually in reality we have come back with an empty hajj. You may have fulfilled that fard, but that hajj is empty. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, we make tawaf around the Baytullah. We are looking at the Kaaba Sharif. Looking at the Baytullah itself is a reward. We are making tawaf around the Baytullah. We understood that this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to ask ourselves this question, have you understood and recognized who is the Rabb of the Kaaba? Did we bring the recognition of Allah ta'ala into our lives? We recognize the Baytullah, but have we recognized Allah ta'ala? So this recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love and the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala, we have to come back with that. That in, when you are performing this act of hajj, that out of that love you find hajj, it's all about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the very beginning, right till the end, if you look at hajj, it's all about the love of Allah ta'ala. That a person, his entire life, he starts saving for this journey of hajj. What makes him and what drives him towards this? That burning love that person has in his heart for Allah ta'ala. That I want to go to the house of Allah ta'ala. Whether in my entire life I'll make effort, whether I make it or don't make it, but that love will continue making me make that effort that I want to reach the house of Allah ta'ala. That burning love. Then we find a person saves his money now, eventually he goes for hajj. Now you know hajj is not a place of comfort and luxury. A person has to make qurbani. All that qurbani in what? In the love of Allah ta'ala. King going for hajj, he also now has to stand on the plains of Arafat on the 5 days of hajj. He has to take his robe, his crown, everything he has to put it one side. He can't put his robe on, his cloak on, and now say, I'm going for hajj like this. He can't wear his crown. In his palace he'll be wearing his crown now when he's going for hajj. The days of ihram, the days of hajj, wearing his ihram. He can't say, I want to wear my crown. Out of the love of Allah Ta'ala, he will dress like a peasant also. There's no difference between a peasant and a king. Everyone is wearing that same garment, the two pieces of cloth, nothing on his head. Out of what? Out of the love of Allah Ta'ala. So this is what we have to bring back, the love of Allah Ta'ala, the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. When this love of Allah Ta'ala will enter our hearts, then very, very easy for us to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. That is why we find, when we are in hajj, the haji, very easy for him to give up all those sins that a person normally would commit at home. Out of that love of Allah Ta'ala. Now Allah Ta'ala tells him, leave the Haram Sharif, leave Baytullah, go to Mina, Muzdalifa, sleep on the floor, on the stones, go to Arafat. He will leave all that. He won't question Allah Ta'ala. Why? That love of Allah Ta'ala is the command of my beloved. I must leave the Haramain now, the Haram Sharif. I must go to Arafat, Muzdalifa, Mina. No questions. That love drives that person. And when that love will come into our heart, when we bring back that love of Allah Ta'ala, then very easy for us to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Then salah does not become difficult for a person. To come for Fajr salah on the cold morning is very easy for a person. Why? This is the call of my beloved. That love will drive this person. And he will not question it. One incident is mentioned, Mahmud and Ayaz. Mahmud the ruler, the king, or the master, and Ayaz the slave, that love that he had for his master. Many examples are given. On one occasion, Mahmud the king or the master told Ayaz, and Ayaz loved his master, and explaining the extent of his love. If we understand this and we have this love for Allah Ta'ala, it's very easy for us to obey the commands of Allah. On one occasion, Mahmud the king told Ayaz that jump into this water, jump into this pool, into this pond, jump into the water, but don't get wet. This is the instruction of the master of the king to his slave. That jump into this water, but don't get wet. Immediately Ayaz jumped into the water. Immediately he jumped into the water. And obviously when he came out, he was soaking wet. You and I, if somebody has to tell us something like that, the first thing we will reply, how is it possible? What are you talking? How can I jump into the water and not get wet? You sure you never make a mistake in what you are saying? But Ayaz, immediately he jumped in the water, he came out wet. When the master asked him, did I not tell you to jump in the water, but don't get wet, you got wet. So what was his response and what was his reply? This is when love is in the heart. He said, maaf kijiye, ghalati ho gayi. He said, my mistake. I made the mistake, it's my fault. Didn't question him. that you told me to jump, how can I jump into the water and not get wet? This is when we have intense love, that we will not question the master, we'll carry out the command, the action, and any mistakes we'll attribute it to ourselves. When this love will come into our hearts for Allah Ta'ala, then we will not question the command of Allah Ta'ala. Whether it makes sense to us, whether it doesn't make sense to us, but it's the command of Allah Ta'ala, I will fulfill that command of Allah Ta'ala. Whatever happens after that will happen after that. Whether my life has to go also in fulfilling the command of Allah Ta'ala, then my life can go also, but I will fulfill the command of Allah Ta'ala. This is when that intense love will come into our hearts. Allah Ta'ala grant us that love. When we're going for Hajj, we realize that our desires we have to put aside. This whole ibadat of qurbani, what was it all about? Putting our desires aside, putting the knife on. Person goes for Hajj, coming back with this fikr, that the love of Allah Ta'ala overpowers my desires. Whatever my desires, I'll put it aside. One incident is mentioned, not sure whether it was that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, one of the Nabis of Allah, or it was a pious person. It was a Nabi of Allah, then it would be wahi. If it was a pious person, then inspiration, ilham from Allah Ta'ala's side. But he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether it was a dream or whether he was awake. But, oh Allah, how can I come close to you? What is the way to your path to coming close to you? To build that love and muhabbat and that connection with Allah Ta'ala. Person goes for Hajj, he wants to build that link with Allah Ta'ala. So how can I get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the path? So the reply and the response came, it was a pious person, as we mentioned, and it is ilham, inspiration. Allah Ta'ala inspires the pious people. So the reply and the response came, that da' nafsak wa ta'al. That leave your nafs aside and come. Leave your nafs aside and then come. Allah Ta'ala will open the way towards him. We all want to reach Allah Ta'ala, but we don't want to give up our haram passions and desires. How are we going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Like a person who's traveling, making safar. He saved his money and he has a dream destination. That my dream destination is some holiday island example. And now he's saving his money to go to his dream holiday, his dream destination. And after he saves a lot of money now, he has that money, he buys his ticket. And now he wants to go on this vacation, his dream destination that he was saving for. And now he buys his ticket, a very expensive ticket. He comes to the airport now, he's coming past security, and they take his boarding pass and tell him, you can't board the flight because in your hand luggage you got some liquids, which is not permissible for you to carry as your hand luggage on the flight. So you can't board the flight. If you want to board the flight, then you must take this bottle, this liquid, and you must discard it, and you must throw it to the rubbish, into the bin. Then you can board the flight. Now if this person insists that I want this liquid, I don't want to throw it, I don't want to discard it, then they will tell him, security will tell him, you cannot board that flight. You cannot board that flight. The flight will leave without you. If you take this liquid and you discard it and you throw it into the bin one side, then you will be able to board that flight and you will be able to travel. But you have to throw that liquid into the dustbin. So same is our example. If we want to board that flight to link us and connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to get onto that flight that is going to take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to discard these nafs and desires of ours into the dustbin. It's not possible that we want to follow our nafs and our desires. We want to follow shaitan, we want to follow our nafs, and we want to follow our desires, and also we want to board that flight that is going to take us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not going to happen. This person will never be able to board that flight. He'll miss that flight also. So we have to leave our nafs and our desires aside. So this is a lesson that we learn from the Baytullah. Then going to the Madinah al-Munawwara, what lessons have we brought back from the blessed land, Haramain Sharifin, Madinah al-Munawwara? Standing in front of the Rosa Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and conveying our salams, what have we have brought back in came? Nabi sallam mentioned the hadith that we're standing in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is x-raying us, is looking at us. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, man zara qabri ba'da wafati faka'annama zarani fi hayati. That when a person visits the grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam after he has passed away, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions, as if he is visiting me whilst I'm alive. So when a person is standing in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the Rawdah Mubarak, Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is watching and looking at this person and he's replying to the salams of this person. Now we have to ask ourselves, what is our condition that we are standing in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is my lifestyle, is my way of life in conformity to the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is my dressing internal, is my external the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How I conduct myself, how I speak to people, how I conduct myself in my business, with my neighbors, with my friends, with my family members, my dealings, are all this in conformity to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So when we're coming back, we come back here with the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That have I adopted the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That I stood in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy and pleased with me when I was standing in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It mustn't happen such on the day of Qiyamah that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chases me away. I said, I want to have nothing to do with this person. So it's not a small thing. Allah Ta'ala has granted us the opportunity to go. We have to understand the greatness of this. That Allah has blessed me and chosen me. Now my life must be in conformity to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And quickly we'll finish off. Person Arafat. Al-Hajju Arafat. This is also a Mubarak and a blessed place. What happened on the plains of Arafah? What message was given to this ummah on the plains of Arafah? Nabi Islam stood there with Sahaba. Nabi Islam performed one Hajj. In that one Hajj, he stood in front of Sahaba, over 120,000 Sahaba. And what message did he convey to them? What did he tell them? To convey my message. What is my message? My message is my whole life. فَلْيُبَلِّغْ مِنْكُمُ الشَّاهِدَ الْغَائِبِ Nabi Sallam mentioned that those of you all present to convey this message to those who are absent. What was the message of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? In that same sermon, Nabi Sallam mentioned, تَرَقْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْدِ I have left two things behind for you all. Kitabullah wa sunnati. This is my message. That we have to take this to the entire ummah. The message of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What an important message. This is the responsibility that a person comes back from these blessed lands. So we have to ask ourselves, have we fulfilled this responsibility? That fikr, that worry, that concern that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Alhamdulillah, on the plains of Arafah, we were standing. Allah had blessed us with iman, we're standing with iman. This fikr, that how I must remain with iman. To come back with this worry and concern, to make effort to protect and make hifazat of my iman. That's one thing we have to understand. That like how today on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, we are standing on the plains of Arafat, making dua, begging and beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be another time when we will be standing on the plains of Arafat. That is on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah. We have to make dua that Allah, as you have brought me today, to stand here with iman. Oh Allah, let it happen such on the day of Qiyamah. I'm also standing here with iman as well. That is why Nabi Sallam used to make this dua. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa ahshurna yawm al-qiyamati ma al-iman. That Allah keep us steadfast with iman. Take us with iman from this world. And on the day of qiyamah, resurrect us with perfect iman on the day of qiyamah. Like how today I'm standing with iman on the plains of Arafah. Oh Allah, on the day of qiyamah also I'm standing here with perfect iman. That is that worry and fikr we must all have. And like that, the second worry and fikr we must have, like how we were standing on the plains of Arafah with millions of people around us, all are crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming from different countries, different nationalities, speaking different languages, all wearing the same garb, all standing in front of Allah ta'ala, begging in front of Allah ta'ala. On the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the entire creation will be also standing on the day of Qiyamah standing there. So like how we have this fikr for ourselves, we should come back with this fikr and worry and concern of the entire ummah. Like how when we are standing shoulder to shoulder on the day of Arafat with the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all making dua, we come back with that fikr and worry and concern. That every family member of mine, every mu'min, every ummati, that how everyone must live with iman, must die with iman, and they must raise on the day of Qiyamah to iman. Every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they must be saved from the fire of Jahannam. This must also be our fikr and concern. And thirdly, we'll finish off that how when we were there, that how we would make sure that our a'mal was in order, that with punctuality, with istiqamat, that we carried out and obeyed the commands of Allah Ta'ala. Now that we come back also, this istiqamat must remain with us. That how you're performing our 5 times daily salah as well, this must also continue. How we was giving charity, this must also continue. How our akhlaq and character was, we overlooked the faults of others, we made sabr the time of difficulty. Similarly, yeah, our life must continue like that as well. Adopting sabr, patience, forgiving, forgetting, overlooking the faults of others, speaking politely in a good way. All these sifats and qualities must come back with us. That's what we call a hajj mabrur. So just to round off three things in a summary, that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, putting our desires aside, inculcating the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, this will enable us to fulfill the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, coming back from Madinatul Munawwara, adopting the lifestyle and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our life, like the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should not feel embarrassed. This thing, we have an inferiority complex about ourselves. Then how can I wear my kurta? How can I wear my trouser above my ankles? How can I keep my beard? What is people going to say? I'll feel like, you know, the black sheep amongst everyone. This is showing we have an inferiority complex about ourselves. We're looking down upon the lifestyle of Rasulullah. Whereas this is the most beautiful lifestyle, the most beautiful way of life. We should be honored that we have a way of life. There's no other religion that shows a person how to live his life except and besides the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the time a person is born, even before a person is born, from the time a person is consummating and being intimate with his wife, from the very inception, our deen shows us how we have to live our life. How to use the toilet. Which deen, which religion shows a person how he should relieve himself? How he should sleep, how he should eat, how he should drink water. So such a beautiful and perfect deen we have. Allah Ta'ala has revealed these verses on the Hajjatul Wada. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. That I have perfected your deen for you. Our deen is perfect in every way. It's perfect. So we should not be shy about our deen. Let us read that last farewell advice that Nabi Sallam had given us. And we will see those beautiful advices, how Nabi Sallam told us to behave with people, with our spouses, with our family members, with women, with children, etc. Perfect way of life. Today we have taken that farewell sermon, we have put it on a frame, and we have put it in our lounge for decorative purposes. Sometimes we must take it out, read it, ponder and reflect over those advices that Nabi Sallam gave his ummah. And then we'll understand the beauty of our deen. But today we have made it a frame. We have to take it out from the wall and we have to bring it into our hearts. And then we'll see how people will be attracted to our deen when we will live our life according to how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wants us to live. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala accept all the hujjaj with ibadat. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of najat for the entire ummah. Allah Ta'ala relieve the difficulties of the ummah throughout the world, whether it's in Palestine, Gaza, Burma, etc. Allah Ta'ala remove the conditions and the difficulties of the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.